like to start with a scripture in the 24th chapter, Matthew. I'll start in the first verse. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming, and of the end of the world? I suppose that that's been a very stirring question throughout all time. I think it'd be natural for somebody to have a curiosity about those things. Jesus came by and said to them, speaking of the temple, they was showing him the temple, and he said to them that not one stone would be left upon another of that. That must have been quite a thing. I wonder how much they believed him. Or if they thought maybe he was talking in riddles or in parables again, or just what the Lord was saying. But the Lord does know. He does know. He knew about that, what he told them. It was absolutely going to come to pass just the way the Lord said it would. And they asked him about this question, when shall these things be? This applies to us. This is meaningful. I want to know. And I was impressed by the Lord's answer. It says, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Right off, before there was an explanation or anything else given, the Lord told them what they needed to know concerning it. If the Lord would have stopped right there, He would have told them if they would listen. He would have told them enough for them to have been very cautious and very careful about their lives. And the Lord knows, and I think it's interesting that the Lord answered them in that way, because if it pertained to them now, surely it pertains to us. As it gets closer and closer to that time and the things that's working around in the world, surely it applies to us now as much as it ever has anyone. Take heed that no man deceive you. I get a few thoughts out of that. I think there's some givens in this. The Lord squarely put the responsibility of the disciples' souls on them. You take heed. It's your responsibility. My soul is continually in my hand. You take heed that no man deceives you, that no man robs you of your prize, that you don't lose what I've given you. You take heed and you be careful. The given is also here that every one of us has a potential to be deceived.
That's right.
Every one of us. Tie this in with the scripture in 2 Thessalonians, I believe it is. 2nd chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. And listen to what he said. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. It seems as if every time that there is conversation along this lines that the Scripture first off declares unto us that we take heed and let no man deceive us. For this is the element that's in it that's going to try to take you and I away. This is what it's all about. This is what you and I need to be on guard of in this present time that we're in. And what a time it is. Yes. I'm telling you, I can't help from just, I stand in awe sometimes. I shake my head, I say, is everyone clueless? Is our whole world clueless? Is there no one that can see you? Having eyes, are they all blind? If they can't see, we was coming up the road today, and I had been listening to a few things on the radio here and there, and I mentioned to my wife, there's none of them that has a clue. I can listen to them and say, yeah, maybe naturally one of them makes a little bit more sense than the other does, or that's the way things I think ought to run. And I told my wife, none of them has a clue. They're all of them missing the whole thing completely. Do you know that the Scripture says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God?
That's right.
I look and say, yeah, that looks like it's going to work. But are you going to do it in the middle of unrighteousness? Do you know, folks, listen, don't be deceived tonight. Did you know what's going to take us, the nation, down? Do you know what would take you personally down? It's unrighteousness. It's sin. Sin is a reproach to all people.
That's right.
Do you know that it seems to me like in the world we live that people, they don't hold on to the precious things anymore. It doesn't look, and there's no respect to the honorable. There's no respect to the right, the decent, the pure, the honest. There's no respect to it. There's no worth put on it or no value. Take heed tonight. Let no man deceive you. The world is trying to change that in our hearts too. Trying to get us away from a purity of thinking, a purity of God, in God's character.
That's right.
Who is God tonight? Our state paper in West Virginia, those are different papers, but the big papers are the Charleston Gazette. There's an article in the Charleston Gazette sometime, just recently. A pastor wrote an article in there. And he said, I wish people would get their Bibles and study them. Well, amen. That's what I thought when I read it too. And he went on to say, because the Bible does not condemn homosexuality. And then I really said, somebody sure should get their Bible and study it. And I thought, how could they possibly legitimately, really honestly say that? Would you be willing to say tonight that there would be a possibility that this person's deceived? Yes, Sister Maxine, the answer, of course, is yes. But what I'm interested in tonight is how did he get there? How did he get there? As I look back at the Scriptures, at the world, at the application of the Scriptures, down through the time, I'd have to erase a lot of things that ever come to a conclusion like that. I'd have to erase the pure intent of the Scriptures in many places to do something like that. How can a person, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they have some zeal for God, they want to live for God, I'll give them the benefit that they want to go to heaven. But how was it possible for a person to get into that kind of a place? Jesus well knew this when he said to the disciples, when they wanted to know, Lord, what about this end of time? What about the things coming on us? What kind of a thing it is? The main thing that the Lord wanted to get to them is that you not be deceived in the middle of it. That you hold on to the reality of God, that you keep the truth in your heart. That you don't be, there's no sleight of hand to you, or there's nothing that manipulates you, or you don't change. And folks, I'm going to try by the help of the Lord to help us to understand something tonight. There's a reason why people are deceived. When I became a Christian, the Lord had dealt with me in various ways in my lifetime. I remember as a young lad, one day I was in a hurry, and I'm willing to say that the Lord can do things, a lot of things to touch you that you may not think of. I'm telling you, it happened to me. We had a television in our home. We watched television as I grew up. And I remember one day I was young, in my early teens, and I was hurrying off, and I run by the TV, and the TV had been left on. There wasn't even nobody in the house. It was just on. And I run by, and there was a TV preacher on there. And I remember slowing down as the man said, "The Lord loves you. Will you give your heart now to the Lord?" And I stopped, and something just grabbed me. And I had to just, no, of course, not run away. I run on to what I was doing. Never give it any more thought. But it stuck in there, that simple thing. God was dealing with me and working with me. And the Lord dealt it a number of times. And I found myself one time down on my knees praying that the Lord would have mercy on me and save me. I was so miserable. At by the time I hit 22, folks, I was a miserable wretch. That sounds strange. I was strong and young, and I had so much that I could have done and all that, but I was miserable. Nothing was working for me, and I didn't seem to end on anywhere, and I was just miserable. And through the Lord's wonderful dealings, I come to the place I got saved. I'm going to tell you how I felt when I got down before the Lord. There was nothing I wouldn't have done. There was nothing. Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll make a fool of myself. I'll do anything you want me to do if you'll save me. That was my heart. And the Lord saved me. And folks, do you know that that's the same mind that'll keep you? That's what it'll take to keep you. And the reason why people are deceived tonight is because they allow a competition to start being created in their lives. They allow something, someone, or some event, or something that is in their heart that they want and desire more than truth, more than the Lord Himself. Yeah. That's what causes people to be deceived. When all this is, the truth of it is that I don't see how anyone could go to the extent of what I was telling you this person did to believe. But so how did they get there? Folks, because they wanted to. I want you to get a hold of that tonight. Because they wanted to. And when you and I get a want to, something I want. When I want it enough, I'm going to make a way of getting it. I'm going to make an excuse and a way in my life. If I want it bad enough, I'm going to make an excuse for it. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to be deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. And you know, I don't think that just has to be the guy off or some preacher off somewhere. You're a man too. That's the one to worry about. Don't let any man deceive you. The Scripture says in one place, "He that trusteth in his own heart," Proverbs 28 and 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Your heart will deceive you tonight. If it's something that you want more, or it's something that you have a desire of in your life, you can be deceived by that very thing. Lord, help us tonight to get this strong in our hearts, that the thing that's going to secure me in this life is my love for Christ supreme in my life, my desire to have Him lead my life, rule my life, be the one that does the work in my life, the one that I care for, I love. He's above everything. He's above my wife, my children. He's above my father, my mother. He's above what I possess, the things that I have. He's above it all.
Amen.
There's no room for deception. Lord, and this is why I say that. You may not always know everything. Not knowing something's not deception. Deception is when you believe something that isn't true after you've believed and known. That's deception. You know, one thing I've always appreciated about the church, we're not afraid to put an honest soul in the hands of the Lord. I don't have to worry about it. An honest soul in the hands of the Lord is preserved more than any counsel I ever give them. When I am honest with myself, honest to who I am, honest before God, I went to a meeting one time, and a man came up to me in the meeting a couple nights in and said, "I appreciate the word. Said, I'd like to talk to you a little bit and like to get with you. Said, wondering if you'd eat dinner with me." And I said, that sounds real good. So he said, "How about tomorrow at noon? Said, I'll meet you at a certain place and we'll go out and eat." And I said, "That sounds good." So we did. Got out to, I hadn't met this man before this meeting. Went out to the meeting. So about halfway through the night before, he gave me a piece of paper, front and back was covered, and he said, "I'd like you to read this, and we'll talk about it when we eat dinner." That's okay. I'll read it. So we got there, and we was about halfway through the dinner, and he said, "Did you read the letter?" And I said, "Yeah, I read it." And he said, "Well, what'd you think of it?" And I said, "Well, the first question I'd have to ask is who wrote it?" There was no name on it. Well, he kind of looked around a little bit and said, "Well, I did." And I said, "Yep, that's what I thought." And I said, "The second thing I'd have to ask is, are you already remarried or are you planning on it?" And he said, "Well, I'm planning on it." His letter was all the reasons why that somebody that went and got divorced could remarry. Oh, he had an argument, all right. It was an argument that he never considered before. It was an argument he never believed before. He never believed it till he got into a situation that he found a woman that he wanted, and all of a sudden he found a reason to want it. And do you know how plain the scripture is on it now? Oh, it was just as plain as it could be. A man that wanted to live for the Lord and reads his Bible and prays and all that. But all of a sudden, he's totally convinced in something he was never totally convinced in before. What was the difference? Folks, it was the want to that got him. It'll be the want to that'll get you in your life too. And I want to warn us against these things tonight, because the Scripture warns us. In this last of the last days, folks, the crucial thing for us is to take heed and let no man deceive us. Not our own selves, our own feelings, our own desire. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not up here just saying things I don't know what I'm talking about. I've experienced some of these things and these challenges. I had another man say to me one time, I had met him and we had discussed some scriptural things, and then he blurted out, he said, "I want to tell you something about your religion." Well, okay. He said, "You all have one of the most damnable doctrines of any people I have ever seen." I said, "Oh, really? Well, which one is it?" And he said, "You're all stand on divorce and remarriage." And I said, oh, well, I said, are you remarried or are you planning to? And he dropped his head and said, well, I've been married 3 times. And I said, now how did I know? How did I know? And he went on arguing just as strong. Folks, it was the want to that has him. I have children. I have grown children. My grown children, my children, that ain't, they're precious to me. I want them to be saved. But I want to tell you something. All I want to them to be saved won't save them.
That's right.
It won't save them.
That's true.
I can pray for them. I can do anything. My best chance for my children to be saved is for me to take heed and not be deceived. Me changing what I think is right and wrong for their case won't save them. It may make what looks like to be a smoother road, but it won't save them. And oh, how many people, because, folks, listen, because they want to. How many people I have known have looked onto the world and got, your devil, got them with a longing in their heart. Got them to longing on a piece of jewelry. Got them longing on a new dress style. Got them to longing on makeup. Or got them to longing on a certain thing. And oh, they had to have it. And then what did they do? They believed something different. They altered the truth in their heart. They believed it because they wanted it so bad. How many discussions? How many debates, if you will? How many times I've been in the places to somebody that knew something, stood for something at one time, had lived for something, had experiences, and testified before us of the grace and power of God. Got something in their heart.
Yes.
And become deceived. And you know what they do? They hang on to religion.
Oh, yeah.
They hang on to religion. And lose everything of substance. Lord, help us tonight. The Lord desires a relationship with you and I.
That's right. Amen.
And that relationship holds the key to our security. It holds the key to our victory. Me knowing the Lord Jesus in my heart and making Him supreme, my King. My King. That there is nothing to challenge that. Because people make all kind of excuses. I had a grandfather that I hope he made it. He became a religious man, and in many ways he was a very, very good man. But he had a thing for money. I mean, I've never seen anybody quite like him. I've seen this before. Come time for an offering, and my grandpa was at the end of his life, was a very wealthy man. In most standards. And it come time for the offering. He had one of these little rubber change purses that used to be around. He was the last one I seen with one. And he would pinch that thing. And whatever his hand could grasp is what he would give. If he had give a dollar bill, he would parade up through there like making sure everybody saw it. He was a good man in many ways. But I'm going to tell you what he done with money. He justified his position on it. Why? Wanted to. It held something in his heart. A place in his heart that he could never surrender to the Lord. It seems so obvious to me that he never could surrender that. Never could give that up. He held it tight, so tight. He wouldn't burn a light like that one at night. Too much electric. He had well over $100,000. Sometimes he had $9,000, $16,000 laying around and stuff. He'd hoard into stuff. He wouldn't burn a light bulb because it was costing him too much money. After Grandma died, he went and shut the water pump off and he'd carry his water in jugs. Wouldn't use the bathroom, he'd go out and use an old outside one that they had because he didn't want to pay the electric company's money. There's something to be said, folks, for being diligent with your money and ask unto the Lord with your money. It all belongs to the Lord. There's something else when it got a heart on it. That heart will deceive you.
That's right.
It'll deceive you away from the blessings of the Lord. Folks, listen, our country's not going to fall because it may be because of the economic thing. I'm going to tell you, lift up your eyes and see the truth tonight. You know what's going to destroy this country? The immorality of it. God's blessings is not on it. God's not smiling on it anymore. It's not the decision of one party or another party. It's going to be because we're getting to be a wicked, nasty people before God.
Right.
Killing our young before they're born. Homosexual behaviors, murders and killings.
Right.
Viciousness and wickedness.
That's
why we're going to fall. Folks, nobody, there'll be a historic reason for sure. There'll be something that a historian will write down that'll cover it all, but that's not going to be the reason. The reason is going to be because men's hearts are turned away from God and they're self-serving. They're serving themselves. Wickedly serving themselves. Folks, the answer is to turn back to God. This should be our prayers. But listen, I can't change the whole world. If I could, I'd start right now doing it. I can't do it. And the Lord didn't say that either to these disciples. When they asked about how it was going to be and He started telling them, He put one directly to each one of them individually. You take heed that no man deceive you. And you might be saying, Brother Marty, we're so far away from that. Well, we're saints of God. We've been taught differently. I've raised different. I'm raising my family different than that. That's naive to think that tonight. It's closer. It's getting closer all the time. The forces is getting closer all the time. Lord, help us to take heed means to be alert and careful about my soul. My soul. My soul. What am I giving my heart to? What am I giving my affections to? Is it leaning towards anything? Oh, this world is bombarding on every side, isn't it? Oh, this great entertainment world. This world to keep you numb by what's going on. Entertained. You know what that means? A two-part word. Inner means within, and tame means to hold. It means held from within. You know when somebody's being entertained, you don't have to put a rope on their legs. You don't have to put a chain on them. They're stuck right there. You know the only thing that ought to entertain us is God. And the Lord told us in Philippians 4, I think it is, just exactly what we ought to entertain ourselves with and the kind of thinking we ought to entertain ourselves with. Lord, help us. Over in Philippians, these are some of my favorite scriptures. Apostle Paul in the 3rd chapter of Philippians gives his testimony of his life and what kept him from being deceived. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same to you and to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Folks, right there is what, just starting off, he nails it down.
Right.
Having no confidence in the flesh.
Yes.
Do you know that we are absolutely dependent upon the Lord on a daily way to stay saved?
Yes.
The longer I go and the more I live for the Lord, the more I recognize how much I need God. To help me out and to keep me saved, I recognize it more and more. If I make it today, it's because of the Lord's grace on my life. Over and over, I'm recognizing it more and more. And having no confidence in the flesh. None. Folks, you realize what I'm saying here? I had somebody recently say to me, "Oh, I can handle some things," they said. "Well, I guess I'm mature enough as a Christian to be able to do that," they said. And when I heard those words, I thought inside me, "Lord, help." That kind of language. Then they told me, "I guess I'm mature enough that I've learned a little bit about this thing." Oh, Lord, I said. It wasn't long before I got the word. And they backslid. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They was the spiritual one. They was the one that knew some things, could do some things, had some power with God. That was just a matter of a couple of months and they're totally gone. Wait a minute. What happened there? You know what happened? It was deceived. They wasn't deceived in these great sins. You know what they was deceived with? They was deceived in self-ability. They was deceived about where they stood. And the Scripture even warns us that of him that thinketh he stand, of you that lived spiritual lives and had your prayers answered and the Lord's healed and helped and you've seen spiritual battles and have been in places, the Lord says to you tonight, take heed. Lest you fall. Take heed. Lest you become deceived about the position that you're in. So the apostle says right off, having no confidence in the flesh. Paul resigned himself in the flesh. Paul isn't worth anything. Paul can't get it done. Paul was wrong. My confidence is in Christ. My confidence in Christ. I'm going to be honest tonight. I don't want to be deceived, so I'm going to be honest. And where I have failures, I'm going to be honest to myself and to God about my failures.
Amen.
Oh, I'm the only weak. I'm the only one that has a weakness in here.
No.
Well, my weakness. I want to be honest. I want to be accountable. My wife will testify to my weaknesses because I run and tell her. Why? Because I don't want to be deceived. I want to be accountable to those things. God gives us victory. It isn't a victoryless life. But we all have these places in our life. And I know I have them. Paul had it too in the given to him of the Lord. A thorn in the flesh. And it wearied him and worked on him. And he tried to pray it away. And the Lord said, "No, Paul." Why? Lest you be exalted above your measure and deceive your own self. And you lose the idea that you're a mortal man. And you lose your soul over it. You know you can lose your soul over it? He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." You know what he's saying there? You want to come stand toe to toe with a man that's given up all? And let's measure what we had before. I can boast with you in the flesh. I had something to boast of in the flesh. Because I had done some things, is what he's saying. I'd been somewhere in the flesh. Circumcised, he said, the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Hit the high notes. I hit the high notes. Oh, look at me. Look at me and where I'm at. Pharisee. I'm a Pharisee. I have a good lineage. Benjamin. You know, Benjamin was the right one now. Benjamin, not Benjamin. Learn some things. Know some things. Concerning zeal, wasn't lazy about this thing either. I put effort into it. Put energy into it. Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. Blameless. Blameless. I've done it according to the law. I've done it the way it's done. That's the flesh for you. Boy, he gave us a good one because that's the flesh for you. See how it all boasted itself? He said, "You want to boast of the flesh? Let me start showing you." Paul was a man of irony. You can read it all through Scripture. He liked to say opposite things. One place he said, "Give me the liberty of a fool." He wasn't saying he was a fool, but if you're going to treat me like a fool, then at least give me some space like you would a fool, that I might talk to you about your soul. He liked to use that language. Here he's doing kind of the same thing, saying, "You want to boast in the flesh? Let me show you a boast." He started boasting. But that, He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. Folks, right there was the secret of not being deceived. Total resignation. I'll go if you say go. Lord, what's right in the Scripture? If it cuts me up and down and crosswise and backwards, I'll take it. If it means I got to get rid of this wife, this woman, cut it, Lord. I'm for you all the way. There's no deception there. Honesty. Honesty. Looking at myself honestly. Lord, help me to see me honestly. Or I'm going to be in a shape. I'm going to be in a bad way. And doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Take heed tonight, brethren, that you be not deceived. In these spaces where He started talking about the end days, the counsel was, take heed that you be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. Another Scripture says, little children, let no man deceive you. Don't be deceived by anything. But where we put our lives makes us vulnerable to deception. Over and about the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel was the Scripture of King David. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read that. Says, and it come to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off his bed and walked up on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now there is in that Scripture right there, I want to ask this question. Was David in God's favor when he killed that lion and that bear? Did God not anoint him to be king? Did He not give him the upper hand over the giant? God was with him. How did he get here? Now how did he get there? I'm going to tell you what happens, folks. We live life. That's what happens. Anybody in here had some victories? You ever see some giants fall? Amen. God ever heal you? I mean, you know it. He did. Without a doubt, Brother Herschel, I've seen the Lord heal my children on a notion. I've seen God heal, inspire the prayer that healed them. I've seen God work in an instant. I've seen Him work through the night. I've seen God do some things. That don't secure tomorrow, folks.
Right.
You know what happened to David? Life. Life happened to him. You get tired sometimes. We're human. I want to tell you what to do when you start getting that way. Fess up to it.
Right.
Own up to it. And go and say to someone, you have confidence in it, help me, pray for me, congregation there to pray for me. There's no disgrace in it.
That's right.
I need help because I don't want to be deceived.
Right.
I want to make heaven. David lived life from that time to this. Now he's King David. Oh, King David had a time getting king. You remember that? You remember how the Lord blessed him? But he run, and you remember all that? Brother Jim White said called Saul to be king, but he made a king out of David. Because time David got there, he had been through it. But he lived life, didn't he?
Yes.
There are some mistakes David made. It said it was the time of year that kings go out to war. Hey, David. You're king. What's your position and what's your place? Out at war. God made David a warrior. That's what his position was. He was a man of war. Why was he not out fighting? Folks, when we get away from what God intends for us to do and be, we're going to deceive ourselves. We're going to end up being deceived when we don't grasp hold of what God wants us to do and follow into that. There's going to be some deception comes on there, and there's going to be a falling happen there. And there was David. There was David. He's supposed to be out fighting. And I got another question for you. What was he doing getting off of his bed in the evening time? Maybe the culture was different then. I've never read of any culture. There was one place that said something about the shepherd laying the sheep down, I think in the middle of the day or something. There was scripture. But I wonder about if it was culture and if that's what you're supposed to be doing, is sleeping through the day. And you sleep at night. David, what are you doing? You know, I've seen that attitude. I've seen that work in people and saw the danger of it. I've seen men that didn't get up and get about their business until way up into the day. And I said, that's dangerous for you. That's dangerous. What are you doing? Oh, David raises up off his bed. Wasn't where he was supposed to be. And then he finds himself in a position of temptation. Now here was David, the one that wrote the Psalms and cared and played music to the Lord, and the one that had testified to God and the glory of God and all that. And now he's being trapped by the oldest trap in the world. Or at least it was baited with the oldest bait in the world. And he fell for it. And there was nothing there left to sustain him in it. Do you think he thought that was right? He did it. And yet not only did he did it, you all know the story. They told him, is this not Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah? Yeah, that's who it is. So he goes ahead and takes Bathsheba. We'll tell you something else. David had a lot of wives. How pitiful can you get? I'm going to tell you how pitiful you can get. Do you know that there's people supporting a baby almost being born and then snipping it and cutting it in the back of the head there, and maybe I shouldn't do it, it's too graphic, and killing that baby when it would otherwise live? And what? There's nothing wrong with this. These are intelligent people. Supposedly smart and intelligent people. There's nothing wrong with this. I heard something today. It said that there was a study done. And they said that women that marry, not being, how did they say it? That they'll get married, but they're not confident that they're doing the right thing, or they're not sure about the marriage, are more likely to get a divorce than those that are sure. Duh. I heard that and I said, boy, you all really had to do a lot for that. But you know what the truth is? They did. They really did. We're awfully smart in a way. But we're losing an awful lot too.
That's right.
And it's all the kind of an argument of saying, When does life start? Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know. I can't tell that. Who knows? Who knows? Anybody that's had every woman in here that's had a child knows that they're alive. But I'll go on a better authority than that. The Bible says it. That He knows us from our mother's womb. Person. A soul, a person in there. David, how did you get there? Hideous? It was hideous, and it goes on. Now, he's got to try to manipulate things till he... This this is David. How did he get there? Folks, we look at this and say, I wonder, how did he get there? I see it all the time in my ministry. I see it all the time. I see it on a regular basis, someone that stands in the place that David stood, knocking down giants and having their prayers answered and singing very blessed songs. And then all of a sudden they're making ridiculous arguments about what they have in their life. So, she comes to David and says, I'm with child. Uh-oh. Well, the plot gets thicker. What are we going to do about that? Well, we'll just manipulate a little bit. Folks, you know how much dishonesty I see in people? Lord help us. You know how much dishonesty people can have in their lives? How they deal with one another, how they deal with circumstances, how they deal with things. Don't be deceived. A liar is going to have his part in the lake of fire, folks.
Right.
Don't be deceived about that. There's grace to overcome those things with. Oh, David, now he's got to do something. I want to follow this story all the way through. Give me time. David then says, we got to do something. So he says, I think to Joab, go get Uriah.
Yeah.
One of the captains. Go get him and bring him back because we're in trouble and he needs to come back to be with his wife. Quick. So they go get Uriah, and what an honorable man he was. A man of dignity. A man, upright man. He comes and they thought, doing a favor, come in and feed him and tell him, we're going to give you kind of a furlough here and you can come and have a few days with your wife. And then they come back and David said, uh-oh, we got trouble. What? He's sleeping on the porch.
That's right.
Went down there and asked him and he said, far be it from me to go and sleep with my wife when the armies of Israel's in the field, my men, that look up to me. That I would do, far be it from me to do such a thing. And maybe the battle is hinging on this. And so he's continuing in his fast and he won't do it. Uh-oh. All right then, we got to go to another plan. We're going to pitch a battle and you're going to send Uriah up there right up front. And you make sure the battle lasts. Do you know why they could do it to him? You know why they could do it to him? He was honest. He wasn't going to run from the battle. David had a man that he knew he could kill. Because all he had to do was tell him to give his life and he would. Shame on you, David. Shame on you, David. So that's not the end of it. Folks, listen. It isn't for the eyes of the preacher. God sees everything.
Yes, He does.
This is about a relationship between you and God in the still of the night. In the field with nobody else and in places where the saints never go. That's what it's about. And if you don't live it that way, you'll be deceived. Do you know David still knew what was right to be done about things like that? Because there was a prophet came by. Nathan. Came by and said, King, give me audience here. I got a little story I want to tell you. And he told him a story about a man that had one little ewe lamb. And his neighbor had a whole flock. But when his guests come by, the man went and took this other man's little ewe that was like his own daughter. It was his close pet. It was like his own daughter. And he took it and he slew it and he dressed it for this traveler. What do you think of that, David? And David's wrath was kindled. And he was angered inside. And Nathan said, well, David said that he should have to restore fourfold and then be stoned. And Nathan says, thou art the man. I wonder what he felt like at that time. David, thou art the man. Oh, Lord. Look at what I allowed myself to do. and be. After I had seen the glory of God. And look what I allowed myself to do. All because of a few days of indifference. A few days of not following the Lord with my full intention. I started a path away. And I couldn't hold it. Folks, we look at things through our eyes of what we're doing and we think, I can come back anytime I want. How foolish. You know what people get deceived in? They get deceived in time. People will say, I have time. David, no doubt somewhere in his heart, would have said, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to deal with it in my life somewhere. You know how many people have said that, Brother Carl? Somewhere in my life, I'll deal with my soul's need. Do you know that is a great deception of the enemy? First of all, you should never assume that you'll think the way you think right now. If it's anything that I've learned that people get deceived with is that they think that they have control of their thoughts and emotions and that they'll always feel like they want to be saved. You won't. That can be taken from you. You may say, I will always believe the truth. Do you know something can happen and you can get hurt feelings and hurt things and you will turn away from the very truth that you thought you had? You know, some people even blame God. They're deceived and blame God for not doing something for them and they get deceived and warped. And there is one of our songwriters, I believe it may have been Teasley, in the book, wrote some powerful songs and had a powerful testimony in his life. And at the end of his life, he didn't even want the songs that he wrote sung. He didn't want to hear nothing about the Lord. He had become so embittered at God and the church. And right. How did he get there, folks? How did he get there? We're coming down to a very, very tough time in world history. I believe that tonight. But look up. He's still God. There's no being discouraged about this. He's still God, but there is a solemn warning on us tonight. Take heed.
That's right.
Take heed. Because the forces of the enemy are all around. And they're trying to convince you of things not right. In a way that's not right. And the devil tries to get us to settle for less than holiness and righteousness in our own life. Many, many people are out there propagating, you can't live free from sin. You can't live above that. You can't do no better than that. That's deception. There's other people out there that's telling that if you get saved, you'll always be saved. Man told me one time, he was arguing that point. He said, Marty, it's like this. He had a pen. He said, it's like his pen. He said, now, if I give you this, and he handed it to me, and he said, if I give you this, it's yours. I've released it. I have no right to take it back. When God gives someone salvation, he don't take it back. My mind was true. But how many people throw it away?
That's right.
How many people lose it? I lose pens all the time, I told him. I had a man I worked with, he got saved, and he came to me one day, and we had talked a lot about the Lord, and he was always wanting to talk to me about the Lord, and he came back to work one day, and he said, Marty, I got saved last night. And I said, thank the Lord, best thing you ever do. We talked about the Lord for a little while, and he ended up going to another job and all, but occasionally I'd stop at his house and talk to him a little bit. So I stopped at his house one day, and we was talking, and he said to me, Marty, I'd like to leave a prayer request for you. No, I'm sorry, back up a little bit. He told me, he said, Marty, I wanted to warn you. He said, my brother, Eddie, said, I notice he's been hanging around your office a lot. And he said, I want to warn you that my brother Eddie's a thief. And he said, no, I hate to say that about my own brother, but Eddie's a thief. He said he'll steal anything he can get his hands on. He said, I'm convinced that if he had a reason to, that he'd steal the shingles right off my house. He said he stole yard ornaments out of people's yards. He stole our uncle's knife collection right out of his house. He said he's a thief. And he said, you better watch him. And I said, well, thank you. I'll spread that around. We'll keep things locked up and stuff and make sure that. And we went on in the conversation. And then when I was leaving, he said, Marty, I want to leave a request with you. And I said, well, okay, what is it? And he said, I'd like for you to pray for my brother. And I said, well, I said, I sure will. I said, we'll make a special effort to pray for Eddie. And he said, Eddie? Not Eddie. He said, Eddie was saved when he was 9 years old. I'm talking about my other brother. He ain't never been saved. The thief? Just as saved as he can be. Because he was saved one time. Folks, there's a lot of deception in the world today. That's not what the Scripture teaches. Let those that stole steal no more. There's a power of God's grace to keep you and I. And the devil's after it. And if anything that can leave with you tonight, take heed for your own soul tonight. Be honest. Be honest. It is your safeguard against being deceived. Be honest before yourself, before others, before yourself, and before God. Be honest before God. When those things are in, honestly, Lord, tell the Lord about it. Lord, this is where I'm at. Lord, I got a longing. Lord, I got a longing. I got something that is on me. I feel like I want it. I want this. I need this. Lord, help me here. Because I know I can be deceived right here. Lord, help us. You pray for me.